Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Welcome on in. It is the Hub of Sports. I am David Tewksbury, joined alongside by Matt McClure. The Sports Hub are rocking and rolling for this thirsty Thursday. Cloudy, dreary, overcast, rainy sort of day. Perfect day if you are living in the Pacific Northwest. And shall we say it's kind of a gray day out there, pun intended. Again, it is the Sports Hub on FSA, coming up at about a quarter past the hour. We're going to talk a little high school football, a little college football, and can you get a sense that we're starting to get the wheels churning towards football season? I mean, we've had a couple of different conversations this week talking some football, and we're starting to percolate over here. I mean, we're still a ways away from football season. What are we? Let's see. I'm doing my Marquette math. What are we, 35 days away from the Hall of Fame game, something like that? I don't know. But we're looking forward to football season. Obviously, still a lot of baseball and golf and what have you for the summer to get through here yet. But we're getting a little bit excited for football that'll be here before you know it. David Tewksbury along for the ride with Matt McClure. Happy Thursday, sir. How are you?
Doing all right. How are you doing today, man?
Like I said, off the air. I'm a little sluggish. A little sluggish today. Didn't exactly get the best night's sleep. It's cloudy. It's dreary. It's overcast. It's rainy out there. Now, this coffee is very much a lifesaver today.
Much needed today. Yeah, good amount of rain this morning. I didn't expect it for whatever reason. I didn't think we were going to get a good amount of rain this morning.
Yeah, me neither. They were just calling for mostly cloudy conditions and just kind of popped up, didn't it?
Yeah, I was on my way here. It was coming down pretty good this morning. I mean, we're talking really early this morning, so I think it's been pretty light throughout. But, yeah, hopefully they can get that Smitty's game in today, yeah, right? I mean, they've been on the road for 14 straight.
Wouldn't that be the absolute worst? Is you've been on the road since June the 2nd, and, hey, we're finally back home. Oh, just kidding. We can't play because it's raining outside.
That would stink.
That would be awful. So I'm hoping that, like you said, they can get that game in no problem. I think they should be okay.
I think so, too.
Like you say, it's really not pouring. It's been kind of a steady drizzle, if that. It's been kind of spitting out there a little bit, as my mom would say. So I don't think they're going to have any problems. I hope the field is covered. I haven't received a text message or anything like that from Coach Ganelli, and typically when they're postponed or canceled, he'll shoot us a text, and haven't heard anything like that. So I think they should be in good standing today.
Well, they always say the field needs a little water, so hopefully they got that, like you said, covered up. It'll be ready to roll here for tonight.
Looking forward to that. That's tonight as Renner rolls into town, post 307, the Royals there. First pitch slated for 4 and 6 o'clock-ish or so there. That'll be at Fossum Field on HubCityRadio.com and on the Fox Sports Aberdeen Facebook page presented by Culver's of Aberdeen as Ryan Martin is on the play-by-play. And just like you mentioned earlier on in the week, Matt, even before the game's on Tuesday, just some home cooking for them to sleep in their own bed. You're not in a bus for hours on end. And you're taking on a Renner Post 307 squad here tonight. And hopefully you can just kind of get healthy a little bit and see what you can do at home.
Yeah, and you can build off of what you did earlier this week. They played Sioux Falls West. They came away with a split. We talked about it yesterday, the extra inning game What a play there by JL Avilas to get that one of those runs there late. And now you're back home. Smitty's usually play pretty well at home, so I'm expecting them to come out guns blazing here today.
Looking forward to it. Again, Ryan Martin on the call, presented by Culver's of Aberdeen. We call him the Cobra, and we call this The Jump right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Coming up later on in the program here today, again, Cordell Ricklick. He'll be joining us here in just a bit. Looking forward to that discussion with him. Kyle Oswald, Aberdeen BMX. He'll be joining us tomorrow right around the bottom of the hour. They've got their open house coming up this Sunday, so we'll talk about that and much more with Kyle Oswald tomorrow right around 10:30 or so right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But smash that like button, share the stream, helps out with the algorithm. And like I say, the algorithm sometimes helps not only us get the word out about these student-athletes and players and coaches and programs, but sometimes it gives us ideas. We had Eli Sharkey on earlier on this week. Mm-hmm. That's an algorithmic thing. It just kind of popped up on my feed. And it was a great discussion with him. Really, really fun.
Yeah, that's why we always say if you could share the stream, that would be great. Just gets the word out. And you never know. We can find guests if you share in the stream, things of that nature. Like you said, Eli Sharkey earlier this week, great discussion. He shared it, and we got a couple more followers on there. So it helps us out. It helps you out as well, that's for sure.
Helps the show grow. No two ways about it. And that's really what we're all about here is growth around these fair airwaves on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Speaking of growth, the NBA is growing because they've got new players coming into the league. Last night was the NBA draft, and maybe it's part of my algorithm where I don't really interact with a lot of NBA stuff that I had no idea until last night that the NBA draft was even happening. And Daniel Jeremiah, he does color commentary for the Chargers. He does a podcast there too, I think Move the Sticks podcast. He tweeted out yesterday, "I always get excited for the NBA draft, but it always kind of feels flat. Maybe I'm a football guy. Maybe that's a me issue. I'm a football guy for sure, but you know, I was looking to see if maybe one of my Marquette guys got drafted last night. Not the case. He'll probably go today with Cam Jones. But was there a whole lot of buzz with the NBA draft last night? Maybe is that just a me thing, or I don't know?
It was okay. I mean, obviously you had a quote-unquote generational type player in this draft in Cooper Flagg. So I think that added to it. I mean, everybody thinks this guy's going to be a home run hit for the Dallas Mavericks. So I think there was a little bit there. And somebody literally from Cooper Flagg's hometown reporting, which was pretty funny there yesterday. I mean, he lives in a town about 3,000 people. He was obviously at the draft, but they had somebody back at his hometown reporting, just like screaming into a microphone at a bar. Those live shots always crack me up.
Sure.
"Hey, we're here in Maine, Cooper Flagg," and he's just screaming at the top of his lungs. But yeah, I mean, I watched until my Sixers picked, which was the third pick. They got some guy named VJ Edgecombe, never heard of him. Fell asleep to his highlights last night because I need to be a little bit more familiar with his game. So I watched a little bit of it, but I don't think it had the buzz. And I really don't think it does like it used to because you got the one-and-done thing. To me, like, I've kind of fallen off the college basketball. I watch it heavily in March, and I watch a couple games throughout the year. But I remember when I was, you know, 12 to 15 in that range, I was watching college basketball. I knew all the players. I don't know a lot of the players anymore.
100%. And I think that's the reason why it's kind of lost some of its fastball to a degree. You get like some guy from Uzbekistan or Senegal or even Giannis. Look how good Giannis is. But he's from Greece. No one knew who Giannis was.
Exactly.
You get all these foreign-born players and, you know, God bless them for it. They're coming here and they're making a difference to those franchises and programs and communities and all that. Like, that's all well and good, but it's just not as relatable, I feel like. And I think you hit the nail on the head. The one and done thing, it just, you turn on a game, who are these guys? Then, of course, you got your transfer portal in there nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the amount of times that I used to watch the NBA draft back in the day, oh, I know that guy. Oh, I remember, yeah, he's from Duke. Oh, he's from UConn. Oh, this guy. And I'm looking at all these guys, who is that? I can't even pronounce this guy's name. And it's just like the one and done, the foreign-born player that is a project, and they may turn out to be great players, but there's just not that name recognition. Everybody knows who Cooper Flagg is, It's like Cooper Flagg and then the rest of everybody else.
That's exactly right. It's Cooper Flagg and everybody else. You didn't even know who the second pick of the draft was. They're the third. Like, there wasn't a consensus 1, 2, and 3 like you've seen in years past. I go back to the Ben Simmons draft. That was a couple years ago. You knew Ben Simmons was going to be number one, but you also knew a guy like Lonzo Ball was probably going to be number two. Everybody knew who he was. You didn't really know who number two, number three was in this draft. That had something to do with it, and you never see, it seems like, a junior or senior get drafted in the top 10. These kids that got drafted, these guys are all 18, 19 years old. It's crazy.
You hit the nail on the head. These kids are you. That's it right there. They're kids.
Yeah.
And now they get generational wealth, which is amazing. That's a segue. I don't know if you saw this or not. Dylan Harper, that's, of course, the younger son of Ron Harper. He used to play for the Bulls and Lakers and other teams in the NBA back in the day. So Ron Harper, his career earnings, $35 million, not too shabby. I'll take $35 million. Dylan Harper's rookie contract is $56 million.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's today's economy in the NBA. We saw... No, it is. I mean, that's what guys are getting paid. I mean, that's a rookie. You see, Jaylen Brown, he was the first $300 million player. It's just going to keep on getting more expensive with these guys when they start asking for a ton of money. So, yeah, I watched the NBA draft. One of my Penn State guys got drafted in the first round. First time in school history that a Penn State basketball player got drafted in the first round. Wow.
I was going to say, I can't recall Penn State basketball really being that relevant.
That was a center.
Okay.
I was like, wow. I saw it this morning. I'm like, basketball school.
Yeah. Happy Valley is now a basketball school. Did not have that on my bingo board. So I did see this, and I thought this is absolutely perfect for all the guys out there, and for the ladies too, to a certain degree, but mostly for the fellas out there. Headline reads, study reveals that every hour of golf played can extend your life by 4.5 minutes. So, you know what? Swing the sticks more. No matter how good or bad you are, enjoy the game. It's a forever sport. I know it can be frustrating from time to time, but there you go. And this is... When I say trust the science, play some more golf.
Yeah, play more golf, and I'll even take it a step further. Walk 9 holes. Get it? Yeah. Get yourself a push cart.
Yes.
And walk 9. I'll tell you what, I did that this year for the first time, bought a push cart. I walk 9, try to get out there 3 days a week if I can, and I feel a lot better. I mean, just being able to walk. I mean, if you play at Lee and you walk 9 holes, you're walking 3 miles. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's according to my Apple Watch, for all you Apple Watch people out there. So, yeah, I mean, just get out there, and I encourage people to walk as well, because it is I feel like I play better, believe it or not, sometimes when I'm walking.
I think so. I mean, you're moving, the blood flow, everything is there, everything is getting worked out, your calves are getting worked out, your quads are getting worked out. It's not just your hips and your obliques and the swing and everything else like that. So I'm right there with you. Get the push cart. I still got to utilize mine at some point in time here, but it's a great idea. Walk those 9 holes, and if you're feeling really, really up to it, maybe walk the full 18. That's a little ambitious for yours truly, but if you can pull it off, more power to you. And finally, this one popped up on my feed as well. Major League Baseball tweeted out yesterday, you will not want to miss this matchup. It was Brewers and Pirates there yesterday. Paul Skeens, of course, great pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. We've been talking about him now for weeks on end and even for a year about plus now. And he went up against Jacob Mizorowski. Now, Skeens, after yesterday, he's got an ERA that's at 2.12. Mizorowski, he's got an ERA of 1.13. And they were saying, you do not want to miss this matchup. But it was at 1 o'clock on a Wednesday. And I'm just thinking to myself, at some point in time, will we see Major League Baseball, when we see great pitching matchups like this, do you think at some point they'll say, you know, that 1:20 game, maybe we'll move that to 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock and put it in prime time. We'll put it on Fox or ESPN or something like that. Or is it just, hey, well, that's the way baseball is.
I hate to say it, but I feel like that's just the way baseball is.
Yeah.
And they're never going to change. That's the problem. We talk about the market. I mean, we don't know when games are half the time, it seems like, with MLB baseball. And speaking of this Mizorowski guy for the Brewers, you see how tall this guy is? He's like 6'8". He's a tall, thin dude. He's a a mountain on the hill. He's skinny, but he is super tall on the mound. I mean, it is – he's pretty intimidating on the mound watching him pitch.
So you're talking like Randy Johnson 2.0.
Yeah, a little bit. He's got a little bit of that going on. A
little big unit action. Well, if he throws a fastball and kills a dove, then we're going to have some serious problems, or a crow or something like that. But, yeah, he had a nice game there yesterday. Brewers won, for what it's worth, 4-2. And it was a sellout crowd, so a lot of people, I guess – work productivity really dipped yesterday in Milwaukee.
Everybody's like, hey, we got to go to this pitching matchup here. 6'7", 190, this Mirowski guy for the Brewers.
That's your big boy, for sure. And a nice performance there. And sounds like it was a really nice game. And speaking of which, before we bring in Cordell Ricklick here in just a second, this came out with the game there as Skeens got shelled. He gave up four runs in an inning. He got four runs. He gave up four runs in an inning. This was the first time in his career where he allowed four runs in a single inning. It happened in his 40th career game in his 237th inning. That just goes to show you how good Paul Skeens has been.
Yeah, he's one of the best pitchers, if not the best pitcher in baseball right now. He's only 23, and we've talked about it before. He's got a 4-7 record. Makes no sense.
Offensively, he could use a little bit of help, for sure. All right, coming up next on the show, we're going to talk a little athletics. We're going to talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. He is going to be a new Northern State football player here in the not-too-distant future, Aberdeen Central grad Cordell Ricklick. He'll be joining us live in studio after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial. Check out Two Guys with Faces for Radio in studio at Fox Sports Aberdeen's Facebook page. And brighten up the day, got a guy that's going to be in the secondary for the Northern State football team in the not-too-distant future. Cordell Ricklick joins us here in studio. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Great.
Doing well. Yeah, we got the Ohio State Buckeyes shirt here. What's the genesis of the Ohio State Buckeyes fandom there?
Just 2014, started loving them when they were going for the Natty, and they won it as a 4 seed. So first ever college football playoff, and liked them ever since. So
it was kind of one of those deals, you're jumping on the bandwagon.
A little bit, yep, a little bit. But been with them ever since, so.
That's good.
Penn State beat them in 2016. I was at that game, but they haven't beaten them since.
Yep.
Yeah, of course, you got Matt, Penn State guy here. And I told you off the air, I'm an Ohio State fan. Very loosely, my Marquette football team, should be noted, has not lost a football game since 1960.
Yep.
Now, conversely, they also haven't won a game since 1960. But I'm rooting for Ohio State for sure. But you have been an incredible athlete for Aberdeen Central here over the last handful of years. We'll talk about your recruitment process and going to Northern and all that good stuff. But how do you look back at your high school days there with the Golden Eagles?
You know, I just look back and it was fun. It was a great time. I miss it truly. I mean, it's an incredible experience to start for 2 years, get All-State both years. The teammates that I had, they were great coaches, lovely. And then the All-Star game this summer just topped it off for my high school career. And I'm glad I did football in college because that All-Star game just showed me the love that I had, and I wouldn't do it all again for the world.
Yeah, I'm seeing here that All-Star game, part of the blue secondary.
Yep.
What was that? Kind of a, was it like a blue and white type thing? How that?
Blue versus red.
Blue versus red. How did you kind of get separated teams and things of that?
I have no clue, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't know, but the secondary we had, I loved it. They were all good guys, good humor, very talkative, just all new football IQ, and loved talking about it. So.
Yeah, MVP of that All-Star game there for sure is Cordell Ricklick joins us live in studio. What's the process to get prepared for a game like that? Is there a whole lot of preparation, or is it just kind of a bunch of buddies that are just chilling, talking shop, talking football, this and that? I mean, what's the preparation or lack of preparation for a game like that sort of like?
I mean, 2 days before I was driving down there, so you got four practices in 2 days, got two days, and we got to put in schemes for defense and all that. It was easy because guys just loved football there. They could play the game easy, back of their mind. They could read offenses. It was very easy to pick up details and things like that. And it was just very fun, easy to pick up on, and just awesome. Great experience.
You play safety there this past year or last couple of years, and you were a guy that loved to seize the opportunity from what I saw. I remember your junior year, you kicked a field goal. You recovered an onside kick, I believe. You had a pick. Yeah, that was against Sturgis your junior year.
Yep.
This Pat, and you had a pick six against Mitchell that year. You had a pick six against Brookings this year. I mean, you love to seize the opportunity when the ball or somebody's around you, you make a play. Where does that come from?
I don't know. My dad wasn't much of an athlete when he was in high school. My mom, she was a cheerleader for wrestling in the small town of Lemon, South Dakota. So, I mean, young, I just got into soccer, just got instincts right away, run after the ball, and then got into football seventh grade, was primarily a wide receiver in middle school, basically a corner in younger high school. But then Coach Anderson moved me to safety and just took flight ever since. And then everybody just praised me for my instincts, but I mean, it just secondhand nature.
Yeah, it all comes back to soccer, apparently, to the pitch. Were you born and raised then out west there in Lemon, or born and raised here in Aberdeen?
Here in Aberdeen, yep. Okay. My mom went to college here, so that's how they met. So.
Okay, gotcha. Again, Cordell Ricklick here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. How much of your game is instinct? How much of your game is through practice and watching film and just understanding tendencies and reading quarterback's eyes and that sort of thing?
For safety, most of it comes from reading quarterbacks. That's the primary thing you want to do. If you can read a quarterback, you'll be where the ball is 95% of the time. Read and run pass plays, guard pulls, and tackle pulls sometimes, depending on the team. It just, wherever the ball goes, you want to be there. But sometimes you got to rely on your zone coverages and not miss your assignment. And man coverage, I kind of lacked this year. I got yelled at a couple times, but watching film definitely helped in the film room, and then just practicing against guys you know and guys that who want to compete and practice on the offensive side of the ball really helps to prepare for game time.
So you mentioned man versus zone, and obviously when you're in zone coverage, you're covering a zone. Man, it's kind of more mano y mano. How do you get better in man coverage? Is it just those 7-on-7 drills going against the guy in practice? How do you kind of go about that?
What's helped me is just working on footwork, get that details down, and then looking at the hips. It's a one-on-one game, not a team game anymore. You just got your guy to cover that play, and just be on locked in on him. Don't care where the ball is, what's happening. That second, work on your guy first.
Is it difficult to do that? Because I feel like as a safety, your eyes are always on the quarterback. But you're saying that's not necessarily the case. You're reading your keys, your assignments. Maybe that's a tight end. Maybe that's a slot receiver. Is it difficult to not watch the quarterback and just focus on your guy? Or is that something that you had to kind of learn about a little bit?
Yeah, especially because junior year I played all zone. We'd never played man. And working on man senior year was kind of tough. Had to get the hang of it, not read the ball right away, the quarterback right away, just read the man. Yeah, it's definitely tough when you basically play zone, but I'm getting the hang of it a little bit. So.
What I loved about your game, especially last year, you were playing downhill in the run game. You kind of talked about it when a guard pulls or a tackle pulls, something like that. You were able to read if it was a run play or not. And you were in on, it seemed like, pretty much every tackle. I mean, playing the run as a safety, it could be tough at times. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You got seven guys in front of you, beating, banging around. I mean, it's hard to see where the ball goes all the time, especially if you got a small running back on the opposite team. It's hard to see where the ball goes. Just trust your gap, read the zone, and you'll be there.
I feel like nowadays here in 2025, there are some, emphasis on some, players that really don't want to hit. Mm-hmm. And there are some players, they just, you know, they want to make big plays. I get a sense that you want to hit. I get a sense you want to do that just as well as making big plays.
Yep.
Is that fair to say? Where does that mentality come from?
I want to be able to make plays for the team. I feel bad when I'm not out there and something bad happens. I feel like it's my fault. I'm not there. You got to tackle the guy to get him down, not get fourth down, first down, all that. So, part of it comes from just feeling bad and not being in the right situation at the right time. Like that Brookings game, I took complete blame on that for the whole team. Felt bad, but I just got to move on, make plays, have a loose memory, and just move on. So,
when a play like that happens, and you said you kind of feel responsible for that, what are some of the things you do to kind of just get over it? Is it like, hey, we got to focus on the next game, next practice, next play, things of that?
yeah, you got to realize that the thing happened. Just got to move on from it. The team really helped with that. They tried taking some of the blame. I mostly kept it all. But coaches, they warmed up to me. They all loved me, and that really helped move on. And then I wouldn't trade the team for the world. So, I mean, I love those guys. They really helped along the way.
Yeah,
so.
Mistakes happen. I mean, you're going to get beat. You're going to make great plays. That's just the game of life, to be honest. You're not going to be perfect all the time. Can you kind of talk about the importance of being a good teammate when that's the case? Because I'm sure you've had teammates that have blown assignments and you're right there to pick them up. That's just being a great teammate. How do you become that? Is that something that is ingrained in you, or is that a learned thing?
I'm the type of guy, I hate seeing bullies. Sometimes I don't do much about it, but I don't like seeing them. Everybody deserves a fair chance. It's kind of been engraved in me through my mom. My mom was a big impact on me. Just treat everybody the way you want to be treated. But I hate tearing people down when they don't make a play. Just got to move on. Realize you got another play ahead of you.
You were one of the captains this past year, and I talked to Coach Breeze a couple times throughout the year, and I was trying to focus in on each captain, and he kind of said each guy led different ways, a vocal guy or a guy that didn't say much. He was a practice guy, practiced hard, things of that. What would you say, how do you think you led this year?
I want to say I led on the practice field. Talking crap in practice, kind of get some guys going. But try my best in practice, make other people better, make myself better, practicing 100%. Just really toning in on when coaches say something. You got to realize that it's for the betterment of you, and you got to take everything with a grain of salt. So I'm a practice guy, get people going, help them achieve their goals too.
Have you always been a practice guy? Because I got to tell you, I know this may be hard to believe, but I used to be back in the day kind of athletic, back in the day. Emphasis on kind of. I hated practice. I wasn't a guy that loved being after school, practicing all the time. Some people love practice. Have you always embraced practice?
I love the practice when you get going, like the scrimmage, the team Ds, team Os. When you get going as a team, the individual part, I could go away with it. But I love when the team gets together and you get rocking as a team, and then the chemistry just goes and it just flows.
It seemed like on game day for you, and this is just a perspective just watching the team warm up, you kind of seemed like you were in your own zone. You know, you wanted to – yes, you were around the team and things of that, but you were trying to lock in by yourself almost. Is that fair to say with kind of your pregame routine?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to be alone. I'm not much of a music guy. I can tolerate music, but when they're in the locker room, they like blast the music. I'm usually outside with one of my buddies, the other captain, Brody Asoff. I'm usually out there with him just tossing around a football. Love being around football, but I'm not more of a music guy. But I just love the game of football. Try locking in. Got to do what I got to do, and whatever comes, comes.
Yeah, everyone's got their own way to get prepared for game day. And I'll never forget when I was doing an interview with a safety, ironically enough, for Presentation College back in the day, I asked him about music. I said, are you a big music guy? Because the other guys I'd talked to, it's like rip-roaring rock and roll or hardcore hip-hop or something else like this. And he's listening to, like, classic jazz music, like Pavarotti. I'm like, what are you talking about right now? I totally did not get it, but everyone has a different way of doing things for sure. You got time for another segment?
Yeah.
Perfect. More with Cordell Ricklick after a quick break right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Sports Up continues on a thirsty Thursday as we're joined live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen with Cordell Ricklick, former Aberdeen Central High School student athlete and soon to be Northern State football player here as well. And we're talking off the air about kind of your high school years in terms of multiple athletics. You said not so much multi-sport athlete as a senior, but basically a lot of wrestling there as well. How'd you get into wrestling, and how much did that help you with your football game?
My dad actually did a little bit of wrestling in high school, and then, we did soccer, and then I just wanted to still get out there in the sports, just play around with what I like. Did wrestling, and I liked it. And, like, high school, it was okay. I hated the weight cutting. I mean, everybody does. Right. So, but wrestling taught me a lot for football, a lot, how to tackle, all that stamina, how to stay out there for those long drives, 10-plus play drives, helped a lot for football. And then senior year, I kind of just walked away from it. Now I regret it, but can't do anything about it because wrestling is just a whole other brotherhood that you have with those guys. But I loved wrestling, but I wish I didn't walk away from it. So.
Yeah, and you mentioned before, and you kind of talked about it there, how much it helped with your tackling. And do you think that maybe helped with your physicality as well on the football field?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in the wrestling room, guys just beat around with each other, just scrap with each other for 2 hours plus, and then off the mat, you're two brothers that go ahead, talk about whatever, talk about the college basketball game that happened, college football game that happened. Like my head coach, Donnie Bowden, he was a Michigan guy. So we talked about Ohio State versus Michigan quite a bit. We talked a lot of crap, but we knew it was all love. But, yeah, it just teaches you a different brand.
I was going to say, we're not going to hold it against them. You know, yeah. We're not going to hold it up against them. M, go blue.
Yeah.
I had a lot of friends in high school that were big Michigan fans and didn't sit well with me.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that, but that's all right. Was it difficult to get into wrestling? Because I feel like that's a sport that if you don't go 100%, you're going to get hurt. Football, same thing. Mm-hmm. Was there kind of a welcome to wrestling moment for you where you kind of walked in there, waltzed in, you're like, oh, this could be kind of fun. The next thing you know, you're taking a shot to the face or something like that. Was there a moment like that for you or no?
Oh, absolutely. So my first ever tournament, I went 0-3. Told my mom I was going to quit after that. Still stuck it out because she says once you start a sport, you're going to at least finish it for that year. Then went out back next year, got better, kept seeing results, and then finally, sixth grade year, won a state championship, did good for that, kept going, and then I just didn't fall in love with it as much as I should have. I kind of fell more in love with football, so I focused on that more. I wish I focused on both the same, but I'm not mad about it. I'm great at football. I love what I do, wrestling, it's a whole different problem, so.
Where do you think you got better on the football field from your junior to senior year, in your opinion?
Just being a leader, 100%. That takes a big toll on you. You want to make plays. Junior year, I feel like I was underlooked, so teams would run the ball at me, throw the ball at me more than often. Senior year, I feel like I was more looked at because of my junior year. But still, make impact on the plays. Had to get better at everything. There's anything you can get better at. There's everything. So just getting better, being a senior on a junior team, mostly junior defense, loved that. Teaching the younger guys what to do, telling them what to do. We had a whole new playbook. But just being a leader what really helped on that senior, junior year.
Were there moments, you know, where it kind of got frustrating last year with, you know, it kind of seemed like overall the team was dealing with injuries, whether it was a quarterback or defensively. As a leader, how did you kind of handle all that as well?
You just got to have that next man up mentality. You got to, even if you're not on the field practice-wise, you got to be there mentally. Have to take every rep mentally. Have to be there every rep. Just realize what's going on, figure out what you need to do, what your assignment is. But you just got to go with the punches, roll with the punches, be a punching bag, and just move on.
Yeah, because you played a little receiver towards the end of the year last year, huh?
Yep, I did. About after that third week, after we lost our third week, I texted Coach and I said, Coach, I need to be on both sides of the ball. So I loved that, but got tiring, but I tried my best.
So what's your body feel like on a Saturday morning after that? I mean, obviously when you're playing both sides of the ball, you're like Travis Hunter over here. I think Travis probably a little bit better than you. No offense.
No offense. I 100% agree.
Top five pick.
Yep.
But what's your body feel like on a Saturday morning when you wake up?
Bumps and bruises. Definitely turf burn. That shower after the game. Holy cow, that hurts. That stings. All that turf burn. But you got bumps and bruises, achings. You got to go see the trainer, get some ice on them, which I'm not a big guy of, but I usually just go with it, but you got to go see the trainer. Just got to recover. That's the main focus on it. And then just Saturday morning is usually film. Got to watch film. And then just go with the day after that.
So it's a week of a game. How would you prepare? You know, you're playing a team in Double A, I'll just say up here. You know, what would your week of preparation be like for a week of a game?
Oh, Pierre, I hate Pierre. So, Monday, I would say mostly film, get out on the film, maybe go through a walk through what we're going to do. Tuesday, very big tackling day, get your body ready, get blood flowing. Wednesday, more of a team day, get your team defense going, get your team offense going. Thursday, a walk through again, just to get the details right, all that. And then Friday's game day, you just got to hit on all cylinders and go.
So Cordell Ricklick joining us here in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm going to kind of shift this next question kind of differently. You mentioned the turf burns. You know, nowadays everyone's playing on field turf. Mm-hmm. Everyone's playing on the fake grass. Do you kind of miss playing on natural grass? Because I feel like Double A, mostly it's against teams that are field turf. Yep. I think Sturgis is one of the few teams that's
Sturgis and Watertown.
And Watertown that are grass fields. Do you like playing on those sorts of fields or not so much?
You know, I like the turf. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad thing because I've never got injured on it. I know other people have other opinions on it. But the grass, if it's well-kept up grass, it's good. Low cut, no bumps in it, no divots. The sprinklers kind of hurt it. But I don't mind either turf or grass. It could go either way with me. But I like turf because I played on it my whole 4 years of high school. So
I'm glad you brought up Sturgis there, too. So two weeks ago, we had Colby Dallin on. And obviously, he got the game-winning touchdown and then the two-point. How about that game from your perspective there? Well, that was a pretty wild one this past
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that last drive when he caught the game-winning touchdown, just on the sideline feeling like I can't do anything. I'm just sitting there watching what's going on. I didn't like that. Especially when we got some of our crowd just talking, just saying throw the ball instead of run the ball. Want to say stuff, but can't get too involved in that. Don't want to get in trouble. But yeah, I felt very limited. Didn't like it, but he came through like he does. He's a good guy, good athletic guy. So I was proud, but I felt very limited in that moment.
Also the owner of a very good mustache, might I add.
Yes, yes. He takes pride in that thing, too. He does.
No doubt about it. Cordell Ricklick here in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Just out of curiosity, how badly do you get your last name butchered? I mean, I get Tewksbury butchered every which way. Yep. How badly do you get Ricklick burned?
Oh, my God. Every time, everywhere. At the All-Star game, it was Reichwick, something weird like that. Uh-huh. It's everywhere. If they don't know me, it's always messed up, so.
So we got to talk, you know, what's next, right? I mean, obviously, Northern State, you're going to be there this upcoming semester in fall and going to be playing football. What was that process there like for you?
For a little bit there, I was just telling my family, I don't think I'm going to play football. I think I was just going to go to SDSU, just go on with my life there. But then something clicked in me. I mean, I just missed football. Missed how much I enjoyed everybody, the guys in the locker room, just the fun moments, the messing around, but locked in. And then, yeah, to cap it off, the All-Star game just locked me in even more on football in college. It's just a whole different ball game. You got kids that love football, love being there with you. And, yeah, just I'm glad I did it. I don't hate that I didn't do it. I would miss it dearly.
Keegan Mountain was sitting here where you're sitting yesterday, and we were talking about goals. And I thought it was interesting as a freshman, it was – compete for playing time, make the travel roster, and be a good teammate, these sorts of things. Now you're going to be in those shoes now as an upcoming freshman. How do you get playing time? Now the cool thing about being a redshirt is, if you're redshirt, is you can still play a fair amount of games and keep your redshirt. I think it's four games
play. I believe it is.
And keep that redshirt. So what do you do to compete for playing time this upcoming fall?
Yeah, just go in there, compete in the weight room, compete in practice, get myself better, try to make others better. And a guy that is going to be good for me is Cooper Eisenbeiss. We competed in practice when he was at Central, and he really pushed me to play ball at Northern. I love him. He loves me. But I'm really happy to go in there, compete. The guys that I don't know, don't play against, and don't watch to get better versus them and make new memories with them.
For sure. And obviously, we talked about how you seize the opportunity. This is kind of a do you look at it like that as well?
Yeah.
An opportunity?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to go in there, seize the opportunity. The big thing about college ball I wanted to do is I wanted to try to play first year. I wanted to go somewhere where I feel wanted, and I want to make an impact right away. And that's what I'm looking to do first year, and hopefully I do it.
Cordell Ricklick here, Fox Sports Aberdeen. A couple more before we get you out of here. And again, thanks for taking some time.
This has
been
absolutely
awesome. Been awesome having you in studio. I shouldn't say guarantee, but I'm guessing that you've been to a fair amount of Northern games back at Aberdeen Central.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So what's it like when you're sitting there as a fan in row 9 or 10, now that you think, hey, I got an opportunity to be on the field there, what's the atmosphere like at Dakota Bank Stadium from a fan's perspective?
Oh, it's crazy. There's people everywhere, all cheering. One of the best atmospheres in D2. It's something you don't want to miss, especially Gypsy Days. Oh, my gosh, it's crazy. Love the atmosphere, just every fan wanting the team to win and all that, and especially last year on Gypsy Day, that 2-yard line. Wow, that was crazy. just it's crazy that I'm going to be on the field in the next couple of years just with those fans with my side, by my side. So,
yeah, that's that kind of gave me chills there. That's pretty cool. No doubt about it. And, you know, you talked about the off season and things of that and the weightlifting and the training and things of that. How important is that to you when you step onto the field, you know, in August for fall camp or whatever, that you're in that prime peak condition that you want to be in?
Oh, it's big. I'm trying to focus on getting faster. I feel like I'm kind of one of the slower guys now. I don't know why, but I always feel like that. But, yeah, it's just – it's great. The twitchiness, the fastness, and the responsiveness that you have, it helps on and off the field. But I just want to get myself better, get the team better. So I'm trying to work on myself first and then hopefully make improvements to the team.
I was going
to
say, there's a fair amount of central guys on the team. Cooper Fosher, Cooper Eisenweiss, like you already mentioned, yourself. You know, Jackson Isaacson's an Aberdeen guy. Went to Ron Colley, played some basketball there at Christian.
Yep.
And also, there's some guys that are getting some offers now for next year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Seeing Jack Birch just got offered here. I know one of Matt's favorite players is Big Felipe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One of my favorite players.
He's a big guy. He's awesome.
He's getting looks all over the place.
Yep.
What would be your pitch to those guys to say, hey, you know, there's some cool places out there. You know, USD's cool and NDSU and SDSU. Those are cool places, but how'd you like to play here, stay in town?
Well, first of all, you said it, stay in town. I feel like you got your whole community behind you, especially if you're from Aberdeen and then go to Northern, you got your whole community rooting for you. I know I do. I've had plenty of people say that they're rooting for me. But it's just a brotherhood. I mean, you got some guys from Aberdeen that just you want to stick around. And like, I hang out with Joey Dolman. Love that guy. He told me the first time he got the offer, he texted me. And then last night he just told me about a fundraiser that Central has and if I wanted to pitch in. But, I mean, it's just a brotherhood. You got to stick around with your brothers and people you know and get along with. And I would say Northern does that best.
Cooper, you got anything else?
How do you think Central's going to do this upcoming year?
You know,
your guys are back this year.
I've had some talks with a couple of the juniors, and we have a rivalry since middle school that they went undefeated, we didn't. But hopefully they do good. I want them to. For my pride, I don't, because I didn't do so good. But I hope they do good. I hope they – my prediction for them is one game over 500. So what would that be, 5-4?
5-4.
Yep. That's my prediction for them. So,
all right, we got our bold prediction.
Yeah, we got to throw that up there.
All right,
put that with my Sharpie here.
All right,
sign your name to that one. But Cordell, thanks for popping in studio.
Thank you.
Appreciate you doing this.
And, yeah, had fun.
Looking forward to seeing you on the gridiron here this fall.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Absolutely. That's Cordell Ricklick joining us here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen. We'll talk about the SDGA Sanford International Series that was out west yesterday in Spearfish. Talk about that and more, and wrap up this Thursday of the Hub after this. Final segment for your Thirsty Thursday of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Cordell Ricklick got me fired up. I didn't even need the coffee today.
Yeah, he brought the juice like he did on the football field on Friday nights, man. He was awesome. Appreciate him coming in studio.
We were just talking off the air about maybe partaking in special teams. And I told you, Jake Adams, Gabe Gutierrez, and Keegan Mountain are three of their best players on defense. Jake Adams is an All-American, oh, by the way. All of those guys got started on special teams. Like, that's how you make your hay as a freshman more often than not. You're not going to get 60 snaps in a game at safety as a freshman unless you're incredible. So you got to bust in on special teams. That's a great way to do it.
Yeah, that's a great point there, too, because you got to be able to make your way on the special teams. That's where you're going to find PT, playing time. And if you can make an impact there, that's how you get on the field on defense or offense and things of that nature. I could totally see him being on kick return, laying a guy out. That's just the kind of mentality this guy has. And he did it all year long at Central. They asked him to kick field goals. He could put it through the field goal. He blocked a field goal this 2 years ago against Sturgis on field goal block. He said, hey, coach, I want to play. We need help at receiver.
Yeah.
Let's put me out at receiver. I mean, he's a team guy. He wants to be there for his teammates, and that's what I think is going to help him in his first year at NSU.
Sounds like he's got a little JVL in him.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, coach, you need me to kick extra points? I got you. You want me to play wide receiver? Done. I'll play tight end. I'll even play quarterback.
We forgot to mention it. We played Mitchell this year at Joe Quintal Field, mm-hmm. and I think Dahlman was actually hurt that game. He missed. He got hurt, and we scored a ton of points in that game. I think it was like 55 or something. He kicked every extra point.
Nice.
I think he made all of them. He was dialed from the field goal extra point. I totally forgot about that.
There you go. So multi-talented athlete for sure. Well, let's travel out west to Spearfish as the SDGA Sanford International Series was there yesterday at Elkhorn Ridge Golf Course. Once again, Aberdeen Central's Olivia Braun right there in the mix for the two-day tournament that'll continue here today. She was 5-over for a 77 the first day of two. After a tough start for her with a pair of bogeys and a double on her first three holes, really kind of settled into the round. Notice how I wrote that yesterday?
Yeah, I saw that.
I said, I'm thinking of Cobras. I'm typing this. She settled into the round, earning a birdie there on the par 5 fourth hole. On the back nine, picking up 7 pars, 1 bogey, 1 birdie, even par for the back. She is two strokes back of Caitlin Strain there of Rapid City. Going into day two, that'll be at Spearfish Canyon Golf Course. I can't recall, maybe was it Travis Traphagen that we talked to last year, and we talked to him in the summertime, and we're like, hey, what are you up to? He's like, oh, I'm playing golf in Spearfish with my kids. It's just like, why did you have to make us so jealous?
I remember that.
I think it was Trap. But yeah. Nevertheless, I mean, win, lose, or draw, you're playing golf in Spearfish Canyon Golf Course. That's outstanding.
Yeah, it looks like it's a pretty tough course, too. Yeah. I mean, a lot of gals that are over par. I mean, 77, I mean, that's a great score. 75, that's a great score. But seems like it's a little tougher course. They're trying to get used to it.
For sure. Claire Crawford, by the way, she is sitting in the number 7 spot. She qualified for the Nota Begay National Championships with a top 4 finish, finishing 3rd there after day 1 in the girls' 16-18 age grouping. Same can be said for Sully Buttes' Gavin Colson there of Oneida. That, of course, continues today at Spearfish Canyon Golf Course. We're back at it tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420, 98.5.